It's been more than 2 weeks since an oil pipeline ruptured in Mayflower, and the cleanup continues, as does the investigation into just what went wrong and why. Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel recently talked with Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas about the latest regarding the spill.
I think the biggest revelation this week to me was the fact that the rupture in the pipeline was 22 feet long. It indicates that this was not something that eroded slowly over a period of time, that something maybe perhaps major happened. Have you been able to determine anything more about the size of that and the importance of that?
Well, I've tried to not make unfounded steps from one fact to the next. There is no question but that the rupture is substantially larger than we would have expected, certainly than I would have expected. 22 feet is a big gash in a pipeline. This is not some small crack. And I wouldn't think something that had come to exist gradually, but I'm no pipeline expert. I don't know that. What I do know is that, as I have said continually throughout this, the more I learn, the more questions come up. And so I want to know more about pressure and other things that I did not know before.
So tell me a little bit about you went and got the almost 13,000 pages of documents came into play here. You've had about 48 hours, maybe a little bit more than that, to actually look at some of those, go through some of those documents. Has anything kind of come to light already from that quick review and preview of what you've been looking at?
I met with lawyers and investigators that have been going through the initial review earlier today. It's very technical. There's a lot of industry jargon and codes and things that, frankly, we're going to need to get help from Exxon to decipher. I'm not prepared to make any comments or characterizations about what we've got so far, because I think it would be pretty incomplete, other than to say I do appreciate the speed with which they worked on my request, promptness with which they delivered so much information, and they have continually assured me that if and when I want more, they will respond quickly, and I expect that I will want a lot more.
A question that a lot of people are asking is, why does ExxonMobil appear to be in charge of the whole containment area and the public relations and communications around this? I know there's federal agencies and state agencies involved, but can you explain why that perception is out there, and is perception reality, I guess?
Well, I would not say that the perception is reality so much. You have a four-pronged administration at the Joint Command Center, which is state, county, and federal, and the responsible party, which is Exxon. So you've got state, county, and federal government agencies directing the operation, and Exxon simply paying for all of it. They are only one quarter of the decision-making authority, but they are 100% of the cost responsible party. So to that end, they're on the short end of the stick. But I would leave it to the media to characterize how their PR has gone this week. I'm not in their PR shop. I will say that we spent a day last week just trying to clarify to the press that the temporary flight restriction, which is a standard thing that is set up above a disaster area to keep sightseers and private pilots such as myself from flying in and out of there just out of curiosity, from interfering with the media and emergency services aircraft and construction aircraft. You know, the TFR specifically allowed for the media, and yet a day went by where it looked like Exxon had put a no-fly zone to keep cameras out of their airspace, and that they were controlling the airspace. So something that should have been pretty standard became a PR problem that still lasts to this day. So yeah, those things have happened, but I'm busy tending to the cleanup, I'm busy tending to the investigation, and I'm busy dealing with their lawyers. And I let the PR guys figure out how to better communicate with the public.
You have asked for $4 million to help with investigative expenses from ExxonMobil. Have they given you any indication yet if they're going to pay that? How did you come to that number, and do you think it's going to be enough?
Well, the first contract that we've signed is with James Lee Witt and his firm, Witt O'Brien's, a globally recognized disaster response team. We have experts that have worked dozens of oil spills, or more, I guess, domestically and abroad. We have them on site right now. If every member of that team is working, I think it would probably be $2,400 an hour. We're upwards of $650,000. It would be the anticipated cost of that contract alone. We have air quality testing that I want done independently. You know, for instance, setting up an air quality monitor on a street with the wind blowing up and down the street to determine whether certain carcinogens are present is good, and that's important. But that's a whole separate thing from setting up an air quality monitor inside someone's house to test whether or not the air will just make you sick to your stomach. It may not have cancer-causing chemicals at a level that the federal government says are immediately life-threatening, but that doesn't mean you want to live there either. Mm-hmm. And so there are a whole broad array of things I want done. So to get to that point, we tried to estimate the cost and then add some to it. $4 million, I wouldn't say, was arbitrary by any means, but it's also one that I think would cover the cost but leave room for what more may come.
Do you see a scenario where ExxonMobil buys these homes out from these residents that have been displaced, or is that asking you to look too much into a crystal ball?
Well, I wouldn't want to look into a crystal ball, and I wouldn't want to pretend to be the private counsel for the homeowners. And what an individual homeowner may want or believe is fair for his or her damages, I will leave to them. But I don't think that it's any secret that a lot of people, including myself, believe that the property damages should go well beyond the single street down which the oil was flowing, and that a comprehensive approach to that that neighborhood should certainly be in the discussion pipeline sooner rather than later. No pun intended.
Ruby Brock talked to Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel about the Mayflower oil spill this weekend. You can hear more of the conversation at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas and Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.
I'm Guy Raz. Next time on the TED Radio Hour.
For the past few centuries, we have defined beauty not just as health and symmetry, but also as tall, slender figures and white skin.
Beauty, the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
You can hear the TED Radio Hour each Sunday at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM.